initially peaceful, ended in the Taliban firing guns into the air, beating protesters and journalists, seizing equipment, and detaining some people. A smaller protest in the western city of Herat ended with 2 dead and at least 4 injured, according to the Afghan newspaper Ettelaat Aruz. The Guardian saw video of Taliban dispersing protesters with gunfire. With domestic reserves frozen and the country long dependent on international aid, there is also a desperate search for international legitimacy that may allow funds to keep flowing into Afghanistan. The government lineup is unlikely to offer progress on any of those fronts. Instead, it appears primarily designed to prevent internal fractures within the Taliban movement, after weeks of heated internal discussions about power sharing, said Haroon Rahimi, a law professor at the American University of Afghanistan. It won't help with domestic legitimacy. It won't help with international recognition. It will not help ease the resistance, and it will not help government run more smoothly, he said, pointing out that few ministers had expertise in their portfolios. So I have to conclude that the only reason they chose this kind of makeup was to make sure there will be no internal fractures. The new cabinet is also heavily dominated by the Pashtun ethnic group that formed the Taliban's original power base, but which makes up only about 40% of Afghanistan's population. Just 3 appointees in the new caretaker government appear to be from other ethnic groups. It was unveiled by the government spokesman, Zabihullah Mujahid. Asked about the lack of inclusivity, Mujahid could offer only vague promises that the minor portfolios outstanding may be awarded in a way that broadens the government. Some ministers and deputies and many top positions are remaining. We will try to include people from across the country into it. It's not a permanent cabinet, and we will try to make it more inclusive, Zabihullah Mujahid said. Another sign that Taliban promises of change, including respect for media freedom, were being tested by the reality of governing. Zabihullah Mujahid said people should not be protesting at this time because the country had recently emerged from a crisis. He also suggested that some protesters were incited from abroad, a possible reaction to the fact that many of those on the streets were attacking the Taliban as an instrument of the Pakistani government. For 2 decades, Pakistan provided the Taliban with safe haven, and the head of its influential Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, or ISI, spent 3 days in Kabul this week as negotiations about the new government were hammered out. But the Taliban and Islamabad deny any significant ties. There were no immediate response to the new government from the countries that have bankrolled Afghanistan's aid in the past, and now face the prospect of engaging with a leadership dominated by figures who are on United Nations sanctions lists. There is pressure for the international community to work with the Taliban to try to stave off disaster for the most vulnerable of the country's 38 million inhabitants. The United Nations has warned that access to food aid and other life-saving services is close to running out, as concerns mount that the country is facing a looming humanitarian catastrophe. The grim assessment from the United Nations Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs came amid an appeal for an extra $200 million in emergency funding in Afghanistan after the Taliban's takeover sparked a host of new problems. The United Nations says 18 million Afghans are facing a humanitarian disaster, and a further 18 million people could quickly join them.
Bangladesh Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRRB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
On the previous episode of Muslim Lady, we were talking about the concept of self-care, its importance, and its examples within Islam, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom the Quran refers to as Uswatun Hasana, the best example and role model for all of humanity, was actually one of the people who really took good care of himself, aside from spiritually, but physically as well.
And his wives.
You know, he made sure to keep them happy and to fulfill the responsibilities he had. And, you know, it's interesting because who's busier than the Prophet of God?
Exactly.
Right? He never let that get in the way. I was like, I'm a prophet. I don't have time to groom myself.
And he didn't have any assistant.
Exactly.
You know, like maybe like Mr. President these days, he has like someone to tailor his suit for him, someone who to do the hairdo. He did everything himself.
Exactly. That was actually one of his characteristics. He never asked anyone to do anything for him.
He even like mended his own.
Exactly.
But for one thing I was reading in a hadith today, he got some help. We'll talk about it later.
Sure, of course. So more on self-care and its importance. We talked about how important it is for new moms or like second-time new moms, you know, women who have little babies already and have just given birth, how important it is for them to receive that support and attention that they need, the encouragement, and someone, especially the spouse, their parents, or their in-laws, to lift at least half of the load off their shoulders, at least half, you know, because her body is so frail and her mind has become so fragile and she's suffering from so many deficiencies and it's just really hard. People, be more understanding. Please proceed, Sister Razia.
I was thinking of like self-care tips or techniques that we can learn from the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Inshallah.
So because of this, I thought that we can, you know, take, we are actually taking the Noble Prophet as a role model, and you know, we're learning so much from him. But then this is a very good excuse to,
definitely,
you know, delve
highlight
deeper.
Exactly. An aspect that we can all relate to.
Yeah. I want to actually share 5 tips. I'm not going to share all the 5 tips in this program, but
sure.
Inshallah, I would like to share with you 5 tips that I thought were really good self-care tips that we can learn from the Prophet. The first one is that if you want to have self-care, if you want to embark on your journey of self-care, you will have to have time management. Time management is the key to your success. If you remember in our previous program, I told you that this mom was, you know, the working mom juggling between different responsibilities. Yeah, so you have you have to set priorities for yourself, and you will have to see, you know, write down the tasks that you are responsible for. Which one comes first, which one is second, how much time and energy you have to allocate to each and every one of these entries. So this is number one. Even we have some verses from the Noble Quran that talk about time management. For example, there is a beautiful verse in the Noble Quran that says, فَإِذَا أُزِيَتِ السَّلَاتُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Maybe on first sight, let's read the translation. maybe on first sight you're going to see that, how is that related to time management? Mm-hmm. So it says, and when the prayer is finished, disperse through the land and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and remember Allah much so that you will be felicitous. So how is that related to time management?
Pray first.
Yeah. This was, I read in the Tafsir that a caravan used to come, merchant, mm-hmm. you know, with merchants and selling so many like interesting goods. And they would draw on the drums mm. to attract attention, and people would gather, and you know, they would just see what's new in store. Mm. And sometimes, like on one occasion, it was praying time, and the Prophet was waiting, and these people had just left him to go see, you know, what the caravan had for them, like the new goods that was brought to their city. So knowing this, it's like, pray first, my dear,
exactly.
and then go do whatever you want to do. So the set priorities for yourself. The mm. first priority is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can come in numerous forms. Praying is just one form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But as-salatu amududdin, it's like the pillar of your religion and your faith is praying. And then if you have all the other deeds or acts in your life, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, you know, I'm doing it for the sake of pleasing God, all of these are also considered as worshiping acts.
Definitely.
Right? So remember that you have to manage your time. There's a narration from the Prophet and from the A'immah, from Imam Ali alayhi salam and other infallibles, of how they, you know, divided their time. Imam Hussein says, I asked my father how the noble Prophet divided his time, and Imam Ali alayhi salam replied that whenever he willed to go home, he would go home. And at home, he would divide his time into three parts.
Mm.
One part for himself, which in the part for himself, he divided it between himself and the people. The people, he would accept visitors, the elites.
Okay.
They would come to him, especially scholars and knowledgeable people, and he would transfer valuable information to them, and they would go and share it with other people.
Mm.
And one part for only for himself. In this time, he would like attend to his personal needs, like, you know, mending his clothes or brushing his hair or, you know, whatever he wanted to
cleaning
do.
And
cleaning,
washing,
exactly. Yeah. Or eating something.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
So remember that you have to manage your time. There's a narration from the Prophet of how he, you know, divided the time. One part for himself, and the second part, he devoted it to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the third part, he spent it for his family. Family time. So if he was at home 3 hours or 6 hours, 2 hours for himself, I'm assuming he divided them equally.
I'm also assuming he didn't sleep as much as we do.
Yeah.
Like 5 hours tops. And he woke up a kajillion times in between to observe Salatul Layl.
I know. Yeah. He slept very little. We're going to talk about that too. In another hadith, I read from the Prophet that he was talking to Abu Dharr. He said, Abu Dharr, a wise person would divide his time into 4 parts.
Mm.
One for worship of God. The other one for contemplating on your own actions, what you have done, one for halal pleasures,
uh-huh.
and the fourth one to ponder on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a lot of ahadith from other infallibles where they say that, you know, time is to be divided into three or four parts. And then the important part is that this family time or this halal pleasures or joys, they said that this portion of your time is the time that re-energizes you for the other three parts.
Beautiful.
So if you have to do sports, if you have to eat well, if you have to go on vacation, if you have to spend time with your family, this is the time where it re-energizes your battery. So it's a quality portion
where
you have to pay a lot of attention to. So self-care starts with managing your time.
Right.
The second point that I got from looking at the teachings of Islam, focusing on the life of Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the essence of self-care is mindfulness.
Definitely.
Right? And I somehow mentioned this in the first part where I said that if you are doing, you know, besides prayers, which is a form of worship, if any of the other acts, any of them, if you even beautification of yourself, even putting perfume on, even what, you know, whatever body care, self-care, hair care, whatever, if it's with the intention of serving God, if you're doing something for your family, if you're going on a vacation, if you're playing sports, whatever, if it's with the intention of preparing your body and your mind for the servitude of God, this all the time you are doing ibadah.
Beautiful.
In pictures, when you see someone going to for meditation, because as a form of self-care is also meditation, where you concentrate all your attention on one certain topic, right? So every single day, they say al-a'malu bin-niyat. This niyyah is mindfulness, right? And our mind is full of thoughts.
Yep, yep.
Scattered things are in our minds.
Mm.
And there is little order.
Definitely.
In our brain.
So chaotic.
How we are, our brain is functioning. So this mindfulness puts our mind at ease. So once your mind is at peace, this is the best form of self-care.
Definitely.
So we have like physical self-care, psychological self-care, spiritual self-care, mental self-care. So this form, mindfulness, is a kind of mental self-care.
For sure.
That we should pay attention to.
Absolutely. And it's actually much easier than we think. It's sometimes when we mention meditation, people are like, oh my God, it's so hard. How am I going to find the time? How am I going to find the concentration? But you take baby steps. After like 3 days of trying, consecutive days, you'll realize, oh no, it's not that bad. And you feel so light afterwards. That's all the time we have for today's episode. So thank you so very much, Sister Razi. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. Inshallah, more on tips regarding self-care in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on future episodes of Muslim Lady. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. Today is the second of the month of Safar, a day after the survivors of the massacre of the Prophet's progeny at Karbala were dragged to the court of the tyrant Yazid in Damascus. We invite you to reflect on the words of the Holy Prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, when addressing the godless tyrant Yazid in his court. The end of all tyrants is terrible, and God knows the misguided and wrongdoers amongst you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light. The German capital, Berlin, turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believed that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Birkenen landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Sama Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of a cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the Western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saif also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition, with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleo- Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground guest house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gollio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night in things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we're not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. The topic of this episode is how to cope with failure. Today, Thursday, is the second of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We choose from the Holy Quran, chapter At-Taha, to listen to, verses 124 to 125. Let's listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى.
And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life. And we will gather him on the day of resurrection blind.
قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا.
He will say, My Lord, why have you raised me blind while I was once seeing?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, this verse is a warning to those who turn away from the truth. This is because dread and encouragement might be mentioned beside each other and become fruitful. Some Islamic literatures indicate that living the path of mastership of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, as well as living the duty of Hajj, have been counted as the denotation expansion of aversion, the remembrance of Allah. The purpose of stirs of life is not lack of money and straitened circumstances, while many of the rich, because of greed, fear, and anxiety, live in a hardship and straits.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Coping with failure and loss. One of the secrets of success is that we should not fear failure. Rather, we must pick up the sweet fruits hidden in defeat. Failure is like a mirror, which shows us our weaknesses and defects accurately. Great and wise people consider failure as a bridge to victory. They endeavor to see that the causes of failure are not repeated. In fact, they do not consider failure as defeat. What they really fear is that they should never be disheartened or demoralized. History shows that many victories came after defeats.
It is so because the failed person enters the field again with a new determination and spirit and achieves success, as he is convinced that the distance between success and the failure is very less. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to cope with failure. Supposedly, such a great figure like, for example, Einstein or Newton, or, for example, great philosophers or great thinkers in the world, they were such people who intended to be, I mean, source of wisdom and source of help and hope for all people in the world. Yet they've been successful in terms of helping their own nation or their own people. And in some cases, some of them were really great people in all the, such that, I mean, their discoveries or their innovations or the outcome of their research have benefited not only their own people or their own community, but the whole world. Now we find that you shouldn't think about only the present time. You shouldn't confine yourselves, I mean, to the time in which you are living, okay? Because, I mean, time passes by, okay? You should think about the future. You have to think about the posterity. You have to think about tomorrow and tomorrows, okay? Another point is that you have to be persistent in your way, okay? For example, when you decided to go home, and for example, you find that the main road, I mean, in your course of, I mean, driving from your workplace to home is crowded, and you may be in a hurry in order to reach your destination. Think about continuing your way, even if indirectly.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Now, how to cope with failure? According to psychology, one step, create a plan for moving forward. Once you've identified your mistakes and where you can learn from them, you'll be ready to make a plan for moving forward. Remember that dwelling on your problems or rehashing your mistakes will keep you stuck. Stop thinking, I'm a failure, and focus on thinking, I am capable of trying again. With your new learnings, think about what you'll do differently next time. Create a plan that will help you put the information you gain into practice.
Just the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Let's look at the failure from other angle. Benefits of failure. Yes, failure helps you reach your full potential. To reach your full potential, achieve your personal best or do the impossible. You can't fear failure. To achieve any goal, dream, or desire, you must be prepared to accept the failures it will happen on the way. Embracing possible failure is a vital and necessary step to future success and being the best you can be. Failure builds a strength of character. Yes, facing failure is great of building your strength of character. Dealing with projects that didn't go as planned or completely failed can really test your determination, courage, and resolve. But managing to pick yourself up and start again can prove to yourself that you are made of tougher stuff.
When I was getting my driver's license when I was 15, 16 years old, and the driving instructor gave me two words of wisdom. I don't know if he was thinking that these are words of wisdom. He was just trying to have me not crash into the wall, but he told me two things that I could relate to till today, and every single one of us can relate to today, after even being able to drive for 15, 20 years. The first thing he told me was, mostly look ahead of you. Always look through the windshield. This is where you have to be looking at most of the time. Keep your focus of what's ahead of you. Not to what you're going to crash in. No, keep your eyes to where you want to drive, and your vehicle will go there automatically. You look at the tree, your car is going into that tree. If all you notice is the cars around you and how close this guy is getting or this line is curving, then you're not looking ahead. You're looking at the disasters and the distractions in your life pulling you down and pulling you away from your ability to reach your destination successfully. So always look through the windshield, because that's your future. That's how you're going to get to your destination successfully. How many of us use this in everyday life? We have to notice that we, every day when you wake up, you have to look ahead of you. What am I going to, don't think of yesterday, think of tomorrow. What will I do today and what will I be tomorrow? Don't think of what you were yesterday. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi afdal as-salatu was-salam says, he says, if a person lives his day similar to the day that passed, this person has no meaning in life, no purpose in life. He is not in the right vehicle. He's not following the right map towards success. You want to be successful, then today has to be 10 times better than yesterday. Tomorrow has to be 10 times better than today. And that's looking through the windshield. Very simple concept, but sometimes we hear some things and we have to analyze them in our heads. See how we can insert them into our lives. A simple driving instruction, see how it could relate to your whole life. And second, he says, occasionally look in your mirrors, your side view mirrors and your back mirrors, just to get a different perspective.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
حسن اللطف الله.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.